Well, Happy New Year, family. All right. If you have your Bibles, be turning to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24 as we begin today. I'm a big fan of children's letters to God. I don't know if you've ever had the chance to read this book or look at this book. It is a really just precious collection of children's letters, you know, things that they would like to ask God, if they had a chance to ask God. And here are a few of them that I particularly like. Dear God, are you really invisible or is that just a trick? Ruth says, I think the stapler is one of your greatest inventions. That is a pretty neat invention, I think. Dear God, I'm an American. What are you? Jane says, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you got now? It's good wisdom there, I think. Two more. Dear God, if you watch in church on Sunday, I will show you my new shoes. This is my favorite one. Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in church. Is that okay? Children love to ask questions. Why is it that we get to an age and we don't ask questions anymore? See, I think if you're going to grow, you and I are going to grow in our walk with God, we have to be people that ask questions. And it's okay to ask God questions. In fact, you're not going to grow unless you do it. Because life raises questions. We have trials, we have problems, we have issues that come up. And people should ask questions of God. We're going to be spending the month of January and February. I've taken some questions that people have asked me, questions I know people want to know. And we're going to look at these each Sunday. How can I renew my vows to Christ? Can I really change? A lot of people ask that. They think they've gone too far. They just think things have gotten a rut. I just can't change. Can I really change? How can I improve my prayer life? Why do I believe in God, yet I live my life like He doesn't exist? That's a good one on faith that we'll look at. Why do I worry so much? We don't have anybody here that worries, do we? Nobody worries here. Common question. How can I have faith? I'm a worry wart. Why do I worry so much? Why are there so many different religions? And where is God when I'm hurting? These are good questions that we'll address in the month of January and February. And today I want to ask, how can we renew our vows to Christ? And you say, that's kind of a strange message, don't you think? No, I don't. Because many married couples renew their vows to one another at a certain point in their marriage. It's to reaffirm their commitment and their love for one another. Why not renew your vow to the one that you love and should be seeking the most in your life? And there are many places in Scripture that people renew their vows to God. You know, David was a man that renewed his commitment to the Lord in Psalm 51. Peter is another person that renewed his vow to the Lord. Why can't we do that? We're starting a new year. A lot of people start thinking about, you know, they make resolutions. And I hope this year that you have made resolutions in your spiritual life, that you have thought about things that you want to do with God. In March, we're going to be talking about our commitment to the Lord. It's going to be both in sermon and in our small groups. And we're going to be challenged like we have never been challenged in our walk before. We're going to be watching a series called Not a Fan. And what that's talking about is, are you a fan or are you a follower of Jesus? And it's a very challenging 6-week DVD curriculum for small groups It's based on a drama, it's based on a movie that's just extremely powerful. And I'm really excited about this because it's really challenged me. I've watched the movie already and watched what it's just very, very good. So I'm really looking forward to this time in March when we begin this time of talking about our commitment to the Lord. And it all begins with today about renewing our vows to Jesus. Let's pray as we begin. Lord, I thank you for this time together today. And we're honored, Lord. This is another year. And as Father, often we take for granted the time we have on this earth. We take for granted our time with our families. We take for granted so much. Help us to be people, to be men and women of your word, to be people who are dedicated to spending time with you every day. Oh, Lord, how we need you. We're so distracted. Forgive us for allowing those distractions to rule our lives. Help us this day from your precious servant, Joshua. Help us to learn from some wonderful principles today that we can put into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have my Bible open to Joshua 24, and let's look in there, beginning in verses 1 through 13. 1 through 13. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your people out of Egypt, verse 6, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time. I brought you out of the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from before you, and you took possession of their land. Verse 9, when Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam. I would not listen to him. So he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites, but I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them, and you eat from their vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant." This is an important chapter in Israel's history. Joshua is the last link Israel has with Egypt, the last link they have with that time frame of Israel's history. Joshua has seen it all. He has seen God perform the miracles in Egypt. He has seen the 10 plagues. He has seen the Red Sea part. He has seen Israel wander for 40 years, and now they have entered the promised land. And now Joshua is approaching his own death, and he's saying, you know, he's calling Israel to himself, and he's saying, you know, we need to renew this covenant that we've made with God. What is a covenant? A covenant simply is an agreement between two people. Each party will do its part. They've agreed, I'm going to do my part, you're going to do your part. Marriage is in a modern day example of a covenant. When you and I were baptized into Christ, we made a covenant with Jesus. We said, yes, I will follow you. Yes, I will be faithful to you. And Jesus did his part in saving our souls. So there's some important principles we can learn from these first 13 verses that we've read here. First of all, we renew our covenant with God when we remember our history. It is interesting that Joshua takes his people through all this history. And it's like God is trying to tell them, I know about your lives. I know what you're doing. I know where you're going every day. I know who you're talking with. It's interesting, in the book of Revelation, he says to the seven churches of Asia Minor, he says this very same thing. I know your works. I'm very familiar with them. God is very much aware of our lives. He was constantly reminding Israel, don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget what He has done. Through Passover, through festivals, through daily sacrifice, Israel were to remember what God has done for them. You know, and it's important that we do not forget what God has done for us, because it's during the trials and the struggles that we experience in life that we often forget what God has done. Isn't that so true? And I think it would be good for us today to sit down and reflect and think about where we are in our lives. Where are you with God right now? What has God done in your life? Make a timeline. Think about the time, the moment that you were baptized into Christ until now. What has God done in your life? What are the answered prayers? And I was talking with Lee one day, and it was neat how he was talking about how his family, how God moved his family here. He remembers it. He remembers the exact moment when he realized the decision to come here was God working in his life. You've had moments like that in your life as well. You've had moments when God has answered prayer, when He has specifically touched you about something, or you've made a decision to move or to do a change of job or to marry, whatever. Think about those times in your life where God has intervened. Don't forget what God has done for you. Do you remember the day you committed your life to Jesus? I know some people don't remember the date. It's not that important to them. For me, it was the most life-changing day of my life. Some people ask me, why do you keep sharing your testimony with people? Why do you keep talking about, I did yesterday at Upward, because I do not want to forget what God has done in my life. I don't want to forget where I've come from. I need to remember what God has done in my life and how He has changed my life. Do you remember the day you committed your life to Jesus? Do you remember the day you were baptized? Mine was August 8th, 1990, Wednesday night, about 8:15 p.m. I remember it just as clear as day. So right after church at North Boulevard Church of Christ in Murfreesboro, and I'd been talking to Jim Chilton, the preacher there, and I was just ready to follow Jesus. I didn't know a lot about the Bible, but I knew I was lost. I knew I needed God, and I knew this Jesus guy, he was real, and he was who I needed in my life. And just as we celebrate, you know, physical birthdays, we celebrate anniversaries, why can't we celebrate the day of our baptism, the day we were born again of the water and the Spirit? We don't need to forget what God has done for us. And just like Israel, we renew our covenant with God when we remember our history. Secondly, we renew our covenant with God when we remove our idols. Let's look in verses 14 and 15. Verses 14 and 15. Joshua says, now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Obviously, Israel were starting to flirt with other gods again at this point. But verse 15, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, Then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Notice there's a call, a strong call here to leave idolatry. It was a constant battle with Israel and with God. Idols are anything that comes before God in our lives. Anything that comes before God in our lives. I have a confession to make. I've had many idols in the last 21 years as a Christian. My idols have been ministry. They've been missions. They've been being a people pleaser, you know, lots of different idols that I've struggled with in my life. You say, Chris, I don't understand that. How could you have idols in your life? Let me tell you something. Most of the missionaries and ministers that I know will tell you, if they're really honest with you, that they really struggle spending daily time with God. Because I don't know about you, but I'm a very distracted person. I want to get out my to-do list. I got my to-do list. I got to get this done. I got to get that done. I think about it. I got to prepare this message. I got to prepare. And I suddenly realized by lunchtime, I haven't spent any time with the Lord. And that's not good. You see, it's one thing to read the Bible. Read the Bible to prepare for a class or for a sermon. It's another thing to sit down with God, just you and Him, and listen. And I'll be honest with you, I've treated God more like an employer than I have a father these last 21 years. I think it's because I struggle with staying into today. I don't know about you, but I have trouble staying in the moment of the moment I am in. I am constantly thinking about future, constantly thinking about next. What am I going to do this week? What am I going to do next week? Constantly thinking about things so much that I neglect to enjoy the moment for what it is. I've had a lot of struggle with my relationship with God. I've had a lot of victories, but I've had a lot of defeats. And I don't know how you feel about a minister standing before you and saying, I'm struggling in my relationship with God, but I'm just trying to be real with you and say, I ain't got it all together. I want to have it all together. And I'm trying in my life. See this passage from 1 Timothy? Most ministers know this verse. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourselves and your hearers. One of the questions the elders asked me when we were still in Brazil in March, they asked me, what do you consider the most important aspect of ministry? And I told them, spending time with God. And intellectually, I knew it was the right answer, but I wasn't doing it. I was busy working for God, just like the church in Ephesus, doing many great works. But Jesus said they had left their first love. You know, if you're not full of Jesus, you don't have a lot to give. And I realize more and more every day that the most important thing I can do with my day is to spend time with the Creator of this universe. That's my most important task of the day. And the to-do lists will wait. The appointments will wait. I have power, you have power over your day. We choose what we do with our time. And it's kind of ironic that a person can be so busy working for God that they don't spend any time with God. And that's been the case with me. So today I am rededicating my life to Jesus Christ. Because I am tired of talking the talk and not walking the walk. You know, one of these guys that say, well, tomorrow I'm going to read three chapters of Scripture. I'm going to spend time with the Lord tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and I don't do it. This past week, I have penciled God into my journal. And I am spending time with God. Because I have to have boundaries in my life as well as you have to have boundaries in your life. We can't let the world and the distractions of life and work and children and all those good things distract us from the most important thing in our life, which is Jesus Christ. We have to have boundaries in my life. And that's my biggest struggle I've had with everything is I haven't had any boundaries. It's hard to say no. But I'm learning to say no. And I'm learning to say, you know, I'm going to spend time with God this morning. Because it's the most important thing that I can do with my time and my life. We got to get rid of idols. Joshua says, throw away those idols. Get rid of them. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. We cannot straddle the fence. We cannot have one foot in the world and one foot in church. We cannot serve two masters. God's not going to share you with anybody else. That's not the way it works. We must choose which side we are. Who is on the Lord's side? We have a lot of idols competing for our attention, and it's interesting. We were talking about this in our group, and Lanny just did an awesome job last week in our small group. And he brought up a good point. We talk about all these idols, you know, money, materialism, you know, you name it, work. But in the reality, the biggest idol is us. We worship ourselves. We are a self-absorbed consumer culture. We want what's in it for me. We want to be comfortable. There's nothing wrong with that. But a lot of us spend all of our focus and our time on our comfort. We are a consumer culture. What's in it for me? What do I get out of it? We bring it to church, you know. I didn't get anything out of the sermon today. I didn't get anything out of the worship service. We don't come to get, we come to give. There is someone here today that you need to touch. You're here for a reason. We're here to love and to encourage. That's idolatry. Being consumed with ourselves and our needs and our desires and not concerned with other things as in Jesus. What's another idol in our culture? Gadgets. We are distracted. I decided yesterday, I've just got a simple phone now. It doesn't have any internet, no nothing on it. I didn't tell you the part that I dropped my phone into the toilet Friday. But I thought, you know, this is good timing, Lord, because I need that distraction out of my life. I need it out of my life because I'm a distracted person. You know, we tweet, we iPod, we text, iPads, blah, blah, blah. You've heard it. We are so bombarded from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed with stuff. And we wonder why we feel so spiritually dry. We wonder why we don't feel close to God. And it's because of the choices that we make. You're as close to God as you want to be. That's the bottom line. What is distracting you? What is distracting you? I've shared with you my distractions. If loving God is the most important thing that I can do with my day, I need to remove anything that is hindering my time with God. And you say, I just don't have time. I got all these things. We can make time. And this is not a guilt trip to say, read your Bible, pray more. This is to say, if we really love God, we will spend time with those that we love. And if it's in the car, if it's in the just walking in the morning, spending time with Him is the most thing important thing we can do with our day. We renew our covenant with God by removing every idol from our lives. Thirdly, we renew our covenant with God when we respond personally. Look at verses 16 through 21. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God Himself who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God." Listen to what Joshua says in verse 19. "You are not able to serve the Lord." I mean, here they're saying, can you imagine somebody saying, we'll do it, and the guy says, "You're not able to do it." Listen to those powerful words. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after He has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." It's almost like Joshua was trying to talk them out of following the Lord. And Jesus did the same thing. He didn't run after people. He didn't sugarcoat the discipleship. He said, if anyone should come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Just as renewing our marriage vows is a serious thing, renewing our vows with the Lord, I think, is a very serious thing as well. We renew our covenant with God when we respond personally. Today, at the very end of the message, I'm going to give anybody here an opportunity to rededicate and renew your covenant with the Lord. We're going to do that at the very end. One more thing. We renew our covenant with God through our actions. Look in verses 22 and following. Then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey Him." On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people. And there at Shechem, he reaffirmed them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. "See," he said to all the people, "this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words that the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God." Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to their own inheritance. Let's all stand. In no way today am I forcing anybody to renew your vows between you and God. Maybe you and God are doing well and there's no issues. But if you've already been baptized and you're already, you know, you're here today and you want to kind of renew your covenant with God, I'm just going to ask that you just repeat after me as we pray and as we close today. Let's pray together. Lord, I rededicate my life to you today. I have not always put you first in my life. Forgive me for hurting you. Forgive me for loving the world more than you. David said, "Your love is better than life." Lord, I want to say those words and mean them. I want to love you more than anything else on earth. I want to enjoy spending time with you each day. I desperately need you. I'm nothing without you. I need your Holy Spirit to help me love you with all my heart. I ask you to fill me even more this day with your Spirit so that I can love you and enjoy your presence in my life. Help me remove every idol from my life, Lord. More of you in my life, and less of me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In Jesus' name. And the whole church said, amen. Maybe today you haven't even begun your walk with God, and today would be a wonderful day for you to begin that relationship with God through baptism. Today, if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and you say, yes, I'm ready to change my ways. Yes, I know I'm lost and I'm ready to make a fresh start. I want to be born again. I want to follow the Lord and put Him first in my life. Baptism is where we begin that relationship with God. And maybe somebody here today is ready to do that. And we will assist you and help you with that. And we're proud Mitch Perry is here today. He was baptized on Christmas Eve. And we're so proud of you, brother. And anybody else today that is ready to follow Christ, or perhaps today you just need the prayers of this congregation regarding any issue, we love you and we want to help you. Won't you come as we sing?
I heard an old, old story, our Savior came from glory, gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I've heard about His throne, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. I then obeyed His blessed command and gained the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me